So I've decided to continue with this one. And I'm just gonna let it flow because I remember there's so many different events that have happened. And there's one that sticks out as well. And the one I think after, like, I'm fast forwarding now, so I'm kind of jumping past a lot of shit. But the one that sticks out as well, other than being obviously a child and then being in my adolescence when I became a mum, and I had now had my daughter, and I think it was the second week. I think I had had her 2 weeks prior or a week prior to that. I'm not sure. It might have been that she was 2 weeks old or a week old. I think she had been either 2 weeks old, because my body pain was not like how if you had been recovering after labor. So I believe she would have been 2 weeks old. And this was something that ended up happening. So I was in my hostel, and it was like I was housed by Lambeth Council in a hostel nearby my old neighbourhood that I'd grown up in. And it wasn't far from, obviously, where I am now. It's actually on the same street, actually. I'm living on the same street where this happened. But just several doors down. So I'm still reminded by that. It's like every time I'm walking past them, I'm just always looking over at that door, and it haunts me whether I walk down that street. But I remember, like I said, I had had my daughter 2 weeks prior. I'd have been like 21. And like I said, I was living in this hostel, and the night before I had been on the phone, and I think my mum had come over, and I was complaining that I had a migraine and it was a pounding headache. And I wasn't able to leave the house because anyone who's had a new baby, you don't go out in public when you've just had a new baby. You're trying to make sure your child doesn't pick up any viruses, and their immune system is not as strong. No newborn baby's immune system is strong. They need to be sheltered and protected. So I had been staying in the flat. Like I said, it was a hostel flat, so I had a front door. And there was a payment system by a card system, just like when you have a rent card. And I'd have to go, obviously, to the local thing or whatever. But that's going away from the story. So I remember it like it was yesterday. And I remember I had run out of women's pads. So I had, where I wasn't leaving the house, the children's dad wasn't there. I remember that my son was being looked after by my sister and her partner. And they had taken him because I wasn't really, the pregnancy had been quite stressful. And I was always in a depressive state of disrepair, I remember. And it was like a sunken pause that time, before even this event. But there was lots of joy because, you know, you've had a new baby, and I was bonding with my new baby. And I remember, like I said, I'd run out of my towels, so I had nothing. All I had was hundreds of newborn baby nappies, so I was still having a lot of, like, bleeding and afterbirth and all of that horrible stuff. And so I had set myself a bath, baby was sleeping, and that was my first daughter. And I remember I'd set myself a bath. I had taken off my clothes, and then the last thing I heard was the door go. I remember hearing the flap go on the door. And this property had, it was just like a Victorian property. It had stairs inside the property. And then as I come out to the left-hand side, there's a kitchen straight ahead, a very small kitchen. And to the left-hand side, there's another room, which is a double room. And the room I'm currently in with baby, I've turned into more of a bedroom. And so baby's sleeping and safely on the bed, and in a position closest to the wall, so can't roll, can't move away from where it is. And at that time in the flat, I didn't have the Moses basket in the front room. I don't even remember, but I know I had baby stuff and baby equipment in the other room, because by day I used that one as like a day room that I would be in, and then by night I would use the other room that was at the back of the house and was more shaded to sleep in with the baby. So this was just more like a day room. So like I said, I've set the layout, and then see, like if I said to the right of me, there was just a small little hallway, and to the right of me would have been the bathroom. So you step out of the room, first room, then to your right, straight away you've got a bathroom there. And I remember just how blue the water looked. I don't know why, but the water was literally like a sea blue. And I had stripped off my clothes, like I said. I'd left everything that basically I had stripped off onto the floor. And I heard the door go. And I'm thinking to myself, the only person that it could possibly be would be my mum, because I had spoken with her hours earlier over the phone to say I've got this pounding headache, I need some paracetamol, some kind of ibuprofen, something, because the headache is just, it's too much, and it's affecting me sleeping, and it's there for my best part of the night, and I didn't want it to continue. So when I hear the door flap go, I'm assuming that it's my mum. So I wrap the towel around me, and I'm calling out. I'm saying, coming, mum, and stuff like that. And I'm like saying, mum, first trying to make sure it's my mum and it's not someone else. But I didn't hear any response, any reply. So I go down the stairs now, and then I look through the spy hole, and I see a man, a white man, through the keyhole, and his back is to the back is to the spy hole, and his head is quite close up, but I can make out that he's in a uniform, and he's wearing like a Royal Mail jacket, and I'm like, hello, and he's like, hi, I've got a package for you. And I'm like, I didn't order anything. He's like, oh, open the door, I've got a package for you. And I'm thinking, what's he playing now? I've just said I haven't ordered anything. And then he keeps persisting, and I'm like, I have not ordered anything. Listen, just look at the name on the package. Just look at the name on the package. I said, I have not ordered anything from Royal Mail, so can you just take it back? And then he's like, but just look. And it's me, what name is on it? He can't tell me what name is on it. So then I just think to myself, I need to get this man away from my door. I need to just find out who he is. But I was feeling like something's not right, something's not right. My instinct was quite alarmed. Remember, he's got most of his back towards me at the spy hole. And even though he's not covering the whole thing, he is behaving a bit peculiar in his disposition, because you know, like normally when you've got Roma at the front of your door, when you're with the postal officers, they will be in a position where you can identify them. They will be forward facing and they will be ready to greet you. His back was to me, And that was what I was picking up, that something doesn't make sense. But yet still, his tone was quite affirm. It was quite affirm, and it wasn't like, I could hear that somehow he just seemed like he was scheming, right? So then I was thinking, oh my gosh, this man is so desperate to leave this package. I need to make him know this ain't my package, yeah? Because I didn't order anything. I wasn't using telephone banking at that time. I wasn't using online banking at that time. I had no internet service whatsoever. So I wasn't ordering anything. So I go to open the door. And as I'm about to open the door, I feel him pushing. He starts to push. And then he's trying to get something, his hand through the door. And he's got a gun through the door, right? And he's pushed the gun through the actual door. And I'm trying to slam his hands now. And I'm thinking, this is an intruder. He is an armed intruder. And he's trying to break entry into my house. And him and me are wrestling with the door. And the door was about to close on his hand. But somehow, the towel, remember, I'm wrapped in my towel. The towel's dropping. And then I'm trying to, obviously, I'm not really focusing on the towel. But I'm aware that I'm not covered. And then I lose a second where I'm focused, obviously, on the gun. And I'm trying to make sure that it's not able to point and shoot me at the same time. And then I'm trying to make sure that it doesn't drop into my house, but I don't want it to drop into his hands. But somehow I'm trying to focus on closing the door. And I'm not caring if I'm squashing his fingers or his arm. But he overpowers me anyway. He pushes the door back. It hits me. And then he runs into my house. And he's drawn his firearm out even more. And he's running up the stairs. And I'm screaming, I remember. And then all I see is from nowhere, these officers walk on to me. Like they're walking on by, going past. And I'm screaming like, help, help, help. I'm like really screaming. And then they walk up to me like a fog of smoke. That's the best way like to describe it. A fog of smoke. And then they're just standing there. And I hear this man, he turns around to me. He's not with uniform, but he's obviously a detective sergeant or whatever. And he goes, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. And this is me, no. What the hell is going on? So now at this time, I forgot to say, guys, where the guy had obviously pushed me and was wrestling with me with the door, I slipped up to say somehow I found myself on the doorstep because he pushed me out. When I'm trying to get him out, I was pushed out of the house, so the towel's dropped now and I'm screaming. So, yeah, that's the mistake I made when I was relaying the story. And then, obviously, the police proceed to come up the steps. And I would just remember the bus going past on my road and everyone being there and just like, I'm just like, basically everyone seeing my front and my lower parts. Everyone's just seeing and the bus is full and everyone's staring, but I'm not really thinking about them. I'm now thinking about this is a raid, and it's kind of like making me think, this is not normal, what is going on? So then I pick up the towel, and I remember not feeling certain if I could even bend down to pick up the towel, because these are armed officers, like I said, and I see these two female officers coming alongside that other one, and I just thought to myself, what the hell is going on? So anyway, they tell me to go in the house and I said, I'm not coming in the house. And then they said, you have to go in the house and get in the house. And then, can you put it on for me, please? Thanks. Yeah, so then they say I have to go in the house. So I go in the house because I'm remembering now my baby's upstairs. And I'm just kind of like, I'm in a state of shock, but I'm walking up the stairs and I'm thinking, you've got to stay calm. But my spirit is like, nah, this is not right. And that's all that's ringing through my mouth. And that's all I keep saying over and over again. This is not right. This is not right. This is wrong. And I just keep saying that. So yeah, we go upstairs. And it's important for me to say, my hostel wasn't like a hostel whereby we had a duty manager and I was in a cluster with lots of people living in my flat. It was just me, the front door, and it was just like a standard flat, but it was used by the local authority to let out as a hostel. It was used as a hostel, but it was just like basically a flat, but it was used by them as a hostel basis for maybe people like me, maybe young mums or whatever. I am not really sure, but it was called a hostel, but it was more like a flat. So anyway, we go up the stairs and I'm fuming. I'm not shouting anything. I'm just like, this is not right. And then I'm saying to myself, I'm in a vulnerable position and nobody's here with me, so I better remain calm. And then I remember that my baby's upstairs when I saw the man go past me with a gun. But I'm thinking of that when I was fighting him at the door and I was pushing the door onto him. And then I'm thinking about all the steps they've taken to deceive me to open the door, pretending they're royal male. So I'm just like, this ain't right, this ain't right. And then, like I said, we go upstairs. Sorry to go on. We go upstairs. And then I remember the man who told me to fucking shut up and was shouting in my face. They had started the search. Everything was getting thrown out. They started ransacking my baby grows, were getting thrown out. And I was just walking past to see that they're throwing all my food on the floor, tipping out everything out of its container, the cereals, the formula. I had a bit of formula there, but I wasn't using it. They're tipping out everything, literally everything. Everything that is in a container, in a drawer, they've pulled the whole shit out. Yeah, they've pulled everything out. The nappies, the baby growers, drawers on the floor, drawers all tipped out on the bed. They're pulling out the whole works, right? And then I'm asking them, can I go in the room with my baby? And then they're like stalling. And then I'm told to go in the room with the other officers. And then I'm standing there. And I'm asking them, I need to get dressed. And they're like, no, you're not, you can't get dressed. And I said, I need to get dressed, I'm not clothed. They said, that's your business. You chose to come downstairs like that. That's your business. And I was like, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And as I'm saying it, I'm trying to calm myself to relax and not be getting too jumpy in their presence. But it's like a bomb is going off in my head because I'm thinking, this has happened before. This happened to a woman in my community. I remember, I watched that story as a child. And I remember watching it on my godmother's telly, that a black woman had been shot in front of the presence of her children in a raid. Similar to the location of where my hostel was, you know? So my head is like going over history. My head is going over their actions. My head is going over their behavior and their coldness. And then I look into the eyes of the female officers. One just seems cold, shut off. And then one seems cold, but not, she's lukewarm cold. in that she has a sense of definitely professionalism about her, but she seems touched by what is going on. And I remember having my towel and obviously asking to dress, and the same officer asking me to bend over so they are seeing my private area before I'm allowed to dress. And I just felt violated. And they were able to see, they told me to spread my legs, and they were able to view my under area in my flat under this raid when I wasn't clothed. Like I said, I had only a towel now that I had carried up, and at no time was I handcuffed before going upstairs if they felt I was a threat. I was able to walk behind officers where majority of them had entered the house, and the female officers were behind me and the male officers were in front of me, and at no time were their guns drawn on me while I was walking up the stairs, to my knowledge, at any time, other than the armed officer who obviously broke forced entry and was wrestling me with the gun at the door, his firearm, yeah? So, like I said, I just found that whole experience like something I had read in history. And I knew that was not appropriate for them to ask me to do at any time. But I just kept saying to myself, just stay calm, Savaya. They're not going to get away with this. You're not going to let them get away with this. And then I kept breaking a bit, and I was crying, and then I was trying to console myself. And I kept saying to myself, this is wrong. And I couldn't stay silent, so I kept repeating that, and I kept being very repetitious. So after that experience now, I must have, after there's obviously seen inside my vagina, literally seen inside my underneath. They haven't touched it, but they've told me to spread my legs, and the officers are laughing. So there's two male officers there, two female officers there, and then just one female officer starts to shake her head. I saw her. She starts to shake her head like she's disgusted with their behaviour, and she's not agreeing to what's going on. But she doesn't stop them. I think she says, this is not right. But she hasn't said anything else. And at no time after that day has she said anything else, to my knowledge, about what happened. And what ends up happening next was, I must have asked if I can dress. And they start to raid the room around me. And I think I'm having to put on my clothes in front of literally everyone. And I say everyone because there were several people in the room. So during the search, I was having to dress in front of officers, male and female. And I wasn't allowed to dress in private. So while I was dressing, I remember the female officer who didn't agree with what was happening, where I've had to put the towel down to dress, she picks up the towel and she holds it so that I have a level of privacy. But as much as she's trying to obviously give me a level of privacy, the privacy is no longer mine. And I just felt so violated. So violated. It was like I had been passed around. That's the only way to describe it. Like I'd been passed around. And everything had even been removed from my mind that I had had a baby. While everything is going on, it was only when my baby starts to cry that I remember I'm a mum, that I have just given birth. And my child is left crying, no one's picking up the baby. And my child was just screaming for a considerably long time. And they just want the child to be left crying, my child to be left crying. And I'm pleading with them if I could pick up my child. Nobody seems to care to answer me. So I think the same female officer got involved and was just trying to obviously plead with the man who happened to be in charge if I could pick up my child. But I think after a while, I noticed that they didn't seem like I was a risk to them. This was no longer just a raid in my head. I knew this was no longer a raid. This was a training exercise. And why I say that, it took them over an hour to give me this search warrant. Didn't have my name on it. Had my address on it. I think it had someone else's name on it. They presented the search warrant after the search had been started. And the man must have sat down and I was crying and I said, this is wrong. And this is really wrong. And he must have looked at me, handed me the warrant. And then he must have said, I don't care about your feelings. The safety of my officers matter more than your feelings. And I'll never forget his words. And that's why I don't fuck with the police. I don't trust them. And I won't work alongside them. No matter what happens, I won't be the Good Samaritan anymore. And I won't inform and share information with them about anything that I know, anything that I've seen at any time. Because I realised that you don't have to have committed a crime to be a criminal. Sorry, I'm eating, but I haven't eaten anything. You just have to be black and vulnerable and live in certain neighbourhoods, and you're just literally used as target practice, or you're just seen as an opportunity of them carrying out their training. But what I find puzzling is the police are always trying to encourage the community that we need to have a better relationship. We need to make better relations. But are they trying to build relations with the community? After what has happened to me and been my experience with the police, I don't think so. I will never trust them at any time. I will never trust them at any time. They have robbed me of my peace to feel safe in my own home as a woman, and moreover as a woman of colour. And I recognise today where I always have to keep my door locked and always be on edge and always have something to hand that could protect me from an intruder, and whether it be a hammer, whether it be a kitchen knife, I know those are the last effects of not only that day, but a lot of my abuse, you know. Couldn't just put it down to the police because that would be misleading, but I definitely would say before that incident, I didn't feel unsafe in my home while I'd started living by myself. Before that time, that's when it all started. It was like a snowball from the time I got forced imprisoned by mistake and battered, going to court by myself, and then that raid that turned up no firearms whatsoever, and me being dragged out of my home naked by the police and violated in my home by them, by them wanting me to bend down. I don't see any of that shit happening on telly at any time other than if you've gone to jail, and I've never gone to jail. I've never visited someone in prison. So I think the whole of it is just disgusting. And it makes me look at people in uniform and say they're just cowards. Some of them are cowards and clowns. Clowns in uniform. Whatever organisation they work for. Because after that day, I remember going with my sister to complain. And then it's like, you know what was mad about that day after that whole madness as well? I swear the raid stopped when they realised they had nothing else to throw around the house. So they started just throwing things they had already thrown around. The raid was about controlling a woman of colour to feel broken in her environment. The raid was about terrorising a member of the black community in order for her to tell what happened to her so others would know not to dare make any fuss. Or maybe they were trying to incite a riot. I will never know. All I can say is that my relationship with the police is it's nowhere right now. There's no respect. And the officers that have helped me historically, yeah, I salute those ones. But there's very few that I can salute today. Not only because of yesterday, but because of everything that is around us in our community and the impact they have, the negative police has on the lives of so many, whether they're a person of colour or not. Yeah, so that was my experience, and I don't think at any time there's anything that could ever happen that is a coincidence. And I've always said that. Don't believe in coincidences. And you might say, well, if they had a warrant, they had the right to be there. Okay, so if they had the right to be there, there's so many things in that day that I'm keep asking myself, was I handcuffed? Was I handcuffed? I think I possibly was handcuffed. And I wasn't even under arrest. So I was being detained in my house. It's still a pickle, like, because it's so far back. I keep seeing handcuffs on my wrist and thinking, what the hell's going on? And then I keep seeing no handcuffs. So it's like, is my mind playing tricks with that bit? Or was the handcuffs put on for a short period of time and then taken off? I believe they were put on for a short period of time and removed. That's why I keep seeing both. But yeah, this podcast isn't about hate the police or anything like that. It's about my true story, my experience, and how devastating a raid that doesn't turn up any goods, whatever's assumed and it's found to be wrong, it removes so much from that individual, and it robs so many thereafter who's interconnected with that individual, i.e. my children and me. So that's how I feel about it, really. A lot of you have heard me say time and time out again, like, if any situation gets mad peak, I ain't calling them. And that's how I feel today. Not only by that experience, like I've said, by numerous experiences, that possibly I don't have the time to curate everything that has happened in my life under a true story of a podcast. But it's just evident in their disrespect of their ways, the way they've interacted in my life. And I can't, I'm not judging them solely based on my experiences, and I'm not judging them, sorry, based on other people's experiences, because yes, I wasn't there, but the videos speak for themselves. They don't seem to be accountable at any time. Why is that? So sometimes I ask myself, and this is how I'll leave my podcast, who are they working for? Who do they serve? And who have they pledged allegiance to protect, if they are not protecting members of society that they claim to be upholding the law to protect and serve? Serve who? You know? I don't know. It's an illusion, I feel. When I was a young child, I remember, I think my brother used to play cops and robbers on Cops and Robbers, just to seem to be a reworked version of Batman and Robin. But when we were children, we role played cops and robbers, and maybe I was the robber, maybe I was the cop, and said, hands up, put your hands up, freeze. You know, and it was a joke, and we used to see cops as good guys. Maybe there are a few good guys left, but maybe a lot of bad guys just made everyone's hands look dirty. And that's what they don't get. A lot of people in the communities these days, and whether you're in an affluent community or a ghetto, a lot of people today are questioning whether we still need the police, whether the police are doing enough to combat crime, whether they are doing enough to protect members of our community. Maybe there's lots of questions. I don't know. I don't have all the answers, guys. But I know that a lot of people today are losing trust, or feel there's a mistrust in just people in power today. And maybe that's been always the case, but maybe it's because so many of us for so long have just been living a lie. And maybe some of us, so many of us have just been living comfortable on the backs and the blood and sweat and tears of others. So yeah, guys, this was Sophia London, and this was just me sharing another true story. If I feel to do a follow-up at any time, I will. And yeah, that's all I got to say right now. So take care, and this was Sophia London UK. Over and out.